Guys, welcome back to The Pulse. You know how we do every week, but it's exciting this week because we've got actor, comedian, philanthropist, social media star. We've got Michael Blackson, but we've got him here in studio with us in a toned down suit. You're in full on chill mode as you came in today. Thank you for coming in.
Man, thanks for having me. Don't he look like the guy that was dating Jada Pinkett in the movie Set It Off, the one that worked at the bank? A little bit. He like the guy from the bank that worked at the bank, and then never mind. Let's. Okay. I gotta be
doing crimes. And
I gotta do that. It was a grown man with a baby hair. I was looking at. I'm sorry.
Is that how we gonna start? Baby hair. I started on your suit. You gonna start it on?
Oh
my
yeah,
hair.
Man. You gonna get it back?
I didn't know that I could wear that when you came in. All the people here were like, Bill, go upstairs and change. When you're allowed to wear everything that you've ever wanted to wear before. And upstairs management said no. Like, when you're here, I can just roll with it. I should have thought about that.
Yeah, you should. I'll bring you a suit next time.
Yeah?
I got you, man. Well,
then we're going to have you come right back. All right, so we started off joking, mm-hmm. but that's kind of become your thing. Like, how did all this become
my clothing? You know what? When I came to America as a kid, you know, 13, 14 years old, you know, we had nothing. We were very poor. We lived in shelter homes, and we wore, like, clothes that was given to the shelter home to give to kids. So, you know, I went to school and, you know, even my mom bought me new clothes. She would go to the grocery store and buy me shoes. I remember she bought my shoes from a place called Pathmark back in the day. My first couple of years was in Newark, New Jersey. So I remember my mom going buying chicken and buying shoes right next to it. I was wearing chicken flavor sneakers for probably a couple of years.
Okay.
I don't know if anybody ever wore dinner before, but I was almost wearing dinner. So, you know, when I was able to finally make some money, it all went to clothes. I said, you know what, I'm gonna get everything I was never able to get. Even I'm gonna go extra, make sure I'm gonna get stuff that nobody else gonna wear. So I go to stores where I make sure nobody I'm around. Will you wear this suit?
Yeah.
But you know where to find it.
That one I'm saying is expensive and custom. And
this is made out of like tiger's back, right. The back of a tiger.
Listen, I got a spot over North Philly.
Ain't no North Philly.
I got you. We got suits.
This is not nice. That's
just like that.
That you got on is four more meals. This is totally something different. This is not. This.
Take you over there. It'll say Gucci, but it'll be an extra C. Like draw it out.
This suit is not even out yet. This come out in about 5 years.
It's gonna be your clothing box. It's gonna be your brand. You mentioned local connections. Mm-hmm. So you came here.
Came here, I came to Philly. I moved to Philly summer of 89. That's a little boy. Summer of 89, I came to Philly. And pretty much Philly became home. My mother had a few friends from Liberia who lived in Philly. And they told her, hey, Philly is a lot less expensive to live. And I remember moving to Philly summer of 89. Lived in a row house in Southwest Philly right off of Regent Street, which is between King Sesson and Chester Avenue. And we had a whole three-bedroom for $300 a month. For the first time, I had my own room. You know, it was a good feeling. So Philly became home right away. Philly was a much better place than Jersey to us because I got to Philly, and right away, I was able to get a job. I got a job working at Domino's Pizza on South Street. Okay. I started off answering phones, and then went to delivering pizzas on a bicycle because I was too young to have a license. But bike delivery is actually much faster than cars because you maneuver through it your way around.
Especially in Philly.
In Philly.
So that's what you did.
That's what I did for my early teenage years. So even after high school, I did it throughout the whole high school in Philly. Graduated from the same high school Patti LaBelle graduated from, John Bartram High in Southwest Philly. And then throughout high school, even when I graduated, I stayed at Domino's. And that's when I had a coworker that thought I was funny. You know, he was an acting teacher at the Philadelphia Community College. And he's like, hey, Mike, you know, you're funny. Why don't you go to open mic? And I'm like, what's that? He said, it's a stage. Just go. Anybody could go on. And then I started going. And this is back like 93.
Okay.
And I started going to open mic. My first stop was a place called the Comedy Works. It was at 3rd and Chestnut on the second floor. They had open mic on Wednesdays. And then we had the Funny Bone in Philly back then, which later on changed his name a few times, on South Street.
Yeah.
And then open mic was Monday. So twice a week, I had a chance to go to open mic, and that's where it all started from.
Were you a star immediately? Like, we've talked to other people mm-hmm. who tell the story. Like, we went out there, and I went to open mic, and I go, and the rest was history. And they're like, nah, I got booed off the stage.
You know, with me, I was different. You know, I was still a young African kid, and so I talked a lot about coming from Africa, you know, and I looked different, I sounded different, so I kind of stood out, you know. So it was more, even if I did a joke that wasn't funny, they probably had more sympathy for me.
Okay. Like, give them a chance.
I said, give them a chance. You know, so I tried, so I started writing jokes that kind of went with my sympathiness. You know, my first joke was like, I was really extra skinny. I know I look like a crackhead right now, but I was a lot skinnier. No disrespect to the crackheads out there. I apologize. I'm sure your life is going to get better eventually. But,
I'm getting fired. All right, feel good.
And but I was really slim. So I remember I would go on stage and be like, my first line was, slim fast really works. And I opened up my arms. That was my first joke. And my second joke was, Africans hated it, but the audience loved it. My second joke was, when I first came from Africa, all my friends tried to make me feel at home. So they didn't feed me for a month. So I got a lot of backlash from my village. And then, but they said, you know what, Mike, just get the money and bring it here and do something with it. So.
And you did. You know, so at that point, like, you actually did. We're going to talk about that, you know, in a minute. So you made Philly your home. You see, you're representing the Eagles.
Of course.
You do all that. So you came. Philly gave you love, and you've kind of stayed.
I stayed and made it my home. Yeah,
I like it. We were getting ready for this interview.
Okay.
Right? And so I looked at your social media. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody knows you. Everybody knows your background. But what's interesting, and I really don't want to insult the comedians because I don't want to start this battle back and forth. But what's interesting about it is that everyone knows you, but they all know you for different things. Like, they know you for stealing the roles in all of these different movies. You always have the memorable role. And then I go look at your social media. It's like 6 million followers. Mm-hmm. How'd you get there? We know you for the comedy. We know you for the roles, even if they were small roles. In your mind, how'd you get to 6 million and this level of success?
Oh, man. Well, I was on social media very early. You know, I was a little behind on Twitter. I remember Twitter came out in 2009-ish. And by the time I got on Twitter, Kevin Hart was there already. All my comedians already up there by 6 months already. Okay. Already verified, making noise, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, okay, what's going on? I get there, I'm trying to, I'm new with no followers, trying to interact with them. Because back then, with Twitter, to grow your following, you have to interact with somebody with following. Yeah. But then nobody was trying to answer, you know, nobody was answering me. And then, you know, I was so late on Twitter that by the time I got on there, somebody already took my name. And he was being Michael Blackson. He was a funny meme. I'm like, who is this guy that's trying to be funnier than me?
Using my name
and my likeness, speaking like me.
What?
Yes. So it was like, so then I said, okay, I got to get my name back because everybody think this guy's Michael Blackson, but he's really not. So I had to send my Wikipedia account to Twitter, let them know, hey, I'm the real Michael Blackson. He has my ID, he has this. And then eventually they took my name from him, gave it back, and verified me. So then I started, you know, roasting people. You know, I started roasting, and I remember one day I just got up and roasting everybody. Nobody's replying. Kevin Hart replied one time, and me and him went back and forth for 2 days roasting each other. And then I grabbed half of his following from Twitter just because of that.
Really?
Oh, he had all the ugly jokes. I had all the major short jokes. We went on for like days.
And y'all didn't really know each other at that.
No. I've known Kevin.
You were already cool.
No, I've known Kevin way before that. I knew Kevin came out a couple of years after us. Okay. I started in like 93, 94. Kevin was like 96. He was like our opening act. You know, he just happened to like went past everybody.
Right.
So I've known Kevin way before, you know.
So if I start insulting you on social media, you think that would help my following?
That would help your following because I'm going to light you up. Right. You know, and then you would defend.
Like me up to 5 million.
That's Twitter. So Instagram is where most of my following is. Yeah. I had, you know, that I was on time with Instagram. You know, even with Instagram, when I got on there the first time, you know, I said, okay, what can I do to grow my following? My fans like to roast. My fans like funny things. You know, so I remember one time I posted a picture of like me just wearing an outfit. Like, you know, it was like a pink suit. And then I wore that outfit and I posted it, and then they made a meme out of it. Okay. They made like a whole bunch of memes. I just took the funniest meme and posted it and said, who did this to me? And then that just, so every picture I posted after that, people make memes. And that's how my following started to grow because they were sharing these pictures with the different memes that it looked like. You know, I'll show you one of them before we leave. Okay. But that's how I started growing it. And then I was pretty much, I stayed on top of everything that was going on. You know, I'm Mr. Current Event. If something happens, I'm going to make fun of it, period. You know, I had a show on YouTube back in like 2011, 2012 called Black Friday. Pretty much I got on my couch every Friday and made fun of everything that went wrong that week. All the celebrities that messed up, everybody that did something wrong, I made fun of them. And then I did a dance. You know,
okay.
So every day, so my fans running, who's gonna get this week? You know, but like, hey, Mike, this person did this. What are you gonna say about them? So you know, I interact with my fans a lot, and that's how my following grew.
So how did when you do stuff like that? Mm-hmm. People are either gonna love you, or the people you're roasting potentially are gonna hate you.
Yeah.
And when you first walked in, I said to you that, and we don't curse on the show. We can beep yours out, but you know, and I said that you're no. If I don't give a F mm-hmm. was a person.
Right.
In some ways, that seems like you. Yeah, like on social media, you just give it to them. Just brutally honest.
Yeah.
That always been you, and is that something you embrace?
It's something that came later. I was a very shy kid. Yeah. I don't even know where comedy came from. I was very shy because I came to America, you know, kids, when kids clown you a lot, they just push you into a shell, you know, and I didn't actually get to become myself till I got to Philly. Mind you, by that time, I've been in America for about 2-3 years. When I got to Philly, I already knew how the kids are. You know, myself, okay, these kids like to make fun of you. If you don't have the right clothing, they're going to clown your clothes. You know, because I remember back in Newark, I remember my first day of school, my mother bought me, you know, like I said, she bought the flavored chicken sneakers and some dress pants and a dress shirt. So I'm going to school and I'm like, okay, this is, because back home, when I was a kid, we just cared about new clothes. If you had new clothes, oh, that's how you get the girls.
Okay.
You got the girls up for new clothes. In America, it has to be new and has to be name brand. I didn't know that. I just thought new.
It was new. It was good.
So I just got to school with my brand new outfit. I'm walking around pride with my new chicken flavored sneakers and my church clothes without the church service. And they're like, Mike, what you wearing? I said, what do you mean what I'm wearing? This is new. They said, yeah, but it's not Adidas, it's not Nike, it's not Puma. I said, it's brand new. Nobody's ever worn this. Man, they lit my ass up. They roasted me. So but all that happened in Jersey, so by the time I got to Philly, I already knew what I got to do. Don't say much, because kids are always curious. When you don't say much, sometimes you got to talk all the time, is the one you can read right away. If you're quiet, they don't know whether you're a bad guy, you're a good guy, you know. Let me spend my money. I was working on Domino's, making tips, making like $30 a day in tips. Saved my money, bought me all the nice clothes. Now I'm ready to go to school. My first day in this new city, they don't know who I am, what I am. They just know, like, you know, I'm dressed all nice. One of my idols back in the day was Big Daddy Kane.
Okay.
I thought I was Big Daddy Kane. Okay. I had a little box haircut, had a little slice of my eyebrows. This is like 16 years old.
You didn't slice the eyebrows.
My mother hated it. So whenever, even my box cut, my mother was so strict that when my mother's around, I had to comb my hair down. And then when I'm going to school, since I get out of the house, I comb it back up.
Okay.
You know, this slice thing came when I was more closer to 18, where she was almost like, Mom, I'm almost grown. If I want to put two lines in my and get the Big Daddy Kane lines, can we get my Big Daddy Kane
lines?
So, you know, I got to Philly. Now I'm dressing nice. You know, I have a little necklace. You know, kids like, who's this guy? You know, and then I start looking around for who's walking around in chicken flavored sneakers.
Oh, so you start going after other people.
I started roasting.
Okay.
So that's where it all came from.
So the controversy, the back and forth, the after you became you, like getting back from the childhood stuff. You just embraced it. You just go with it. And how did people respond to it? How did the celebrities who you roasted feel?
You know,
about?
I was we weren't friends prior to the roasting, but we became friends after the roast. Mm-hmm. It was Tyrese.
Okay.
So you remember that whole incident where, you know, what do you want from me? Remember that whole thing where his whole child support situation? What more do you want from me, right? You know, so, you know, I have this thing that I was doing called like the dark skin committee, right?
Okay.
You know, I'm in a committee. I created this committee.
Okay.
You know, I had like Michael Blackson in it, like Wesley Snipes, Tyrese, Morris Chestnuts, you know, anybody that's above like 11:50 p.m.
Right.
Like you are like 9:30 p.m. I'm 11:59 p.m. Okay.
Okay.
So anybody from 11 p.m. and above was part of the Dark-Skinned Committee. You did not make the Dark-Skinned Committee cut.
Okay.
All right.
Hurt my feelings, man.
Yeah, it should be hurt. AJ Brown from the Eagles. He's in the Dark-Skinned Committee. Jalen Hurts is more like 9:33 p.m. Okay.
All right.
So, you know, first I know Tyrese cried a little bit. First it was one cry. You know, then it was two cry. And I'm like, you know what? Tyrese, one more cry. I'm going to have to escort you out of the Dark-Skinned Committee. And then he cried again. And then I said, you know what? Then I bit a big thing. And I'm like, okay, Tyrese is no longer part of the Dark-Skinned Committee. He's crying about child support, whatever it was. So then, you know, he contacted me.
Oh, on social.
On social. And okay. Then we made a funny skit.
Okay.
Went viral. He fakely kidnapped me. We did a fake kidnap, but the whole world thought it was real. TMZ got involved. Police got involved. And, you know, we kind of like wrote it for a little bit. We played with them for a little bit, right? And then after, he said, after it was all said and done, he said, hey, Mike, listen, you're a celebrity now, Mike. You cannot be roasting other celebrities. I said, well, that's the case. I don't want to be a celebrity because I'm having more fun. Yeah, I'm going to keep going.
You okay.
Know? So I lost a few friends and gained some, and, you know.
Sounds like you gained a lot more than you lost.
What,
people are now quoting you and talking about my guy, Michael Blackson's going to be there. He's my guy. You're on TV shows. So most people are pretty good sports.
Yeah. I think the savageness was always in me. Maybe it just needed time to come out.
Right.
And it's out now.
I'm going to leave you alone. Listen, I'm not going there. All right, so we talk about, you kind of go through that path.
Flavor Flav is also part of the Dark-Skinned Committee. Go back to your meeting.
We're just going to think about all the people. I'm looking up on the wall of people who have been on the show so far. You know, and I don't see a lot of people who can be.
Don Cheadle is also part of the Dark-Skinned Committee. I think that's pretty much.
There's
a lot more.
Yeah, there's more. We'll think about it. So you gain this level of success, all the movies, the TV, the comedy, you're touring, the social media is blowing up. But at some point, I see you looking at my hair.
I'm not. Your hair is fine, man.
You're going to insult my hair again.
I'm not.
At some point, all of the success, did you never lose track of the fact that you wanted to do more with philanthropy? Did you wanted to do things? Because we talked about it a little bit to begin.
Yeah.
But congratulations. You just finished a school. It's now open. Did it in Ghana.
Yes.
Was that something you always wanted to do?
You know, I went back home for the first time after being in America back in 2001. I had just did a cameo in my first movie called Next Friday with Ice Cube. And
another one where you stole a movie and it was a cameo.
Yeah, my 1.6 minute scene, I became like an instant hood star. You know, so when that movie came out, I became a bigger name. You know, I went from making $500 a show to like $2,500, you know. So I'm going around everywhere collecting all this money. And like, you know, I said, okay, I got to save some money. I got to get home.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember going back home for the first time after leaving Africa 15 years prior.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I went back to where I was from, you know, went to the villages and all that. And I'm looking around, I'm like, why are these kids walking around doing school hours? I never understood why. Because America is illegal. If you don't take your parents go to jail for not putting the kid. But I'm like, why are these parents not in jail? You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it's different back there. And then I realized that education is not free. You know, even the one that's supposed to be free fills up pretty fast. And even with that, it still costs some money. You still got to spend money on uniforms and books and different things they have to do. So a lot of parents can't afford those things. So that's why the kids are out walking around and selling stuff with their parents and out doing school hours. I'm like, goodness, man, we have to do something about this.
Okay.
You know, and it's always been on my mind since 2001, you know. And I said, well, I got to go home and I got to start saving my money. I got to do something. I got to give something back to these kids. And I always wanted to do it back in 2001. I knew it wasn't going to be easy, you know. So when fast forward to like 2019, you know, by then I think I made a little bit more money. I saved some money. I said, okay, let me go see if I could try to make this happen. You know, and then I went and fortunately my mother had a land where she had an old house there. She said, you know, that she wanted a house torn down anyway. You could build a school here. And then we just you know, made it happen. It started in 2019, and you know, fast forward to now, and it's all done. And kids are in school, free education, free uniform, free lunch, free everything. The only thing they got to pay is pay attention to the teacher. That's what I told them.
That's amazing, man. And I think part of what's amazing. So we Google people when they're going to come on the show. And you know how Google, you put in the name and it starts like listing what people think about with the person. You Google Michael Blackson, there's a lot of stuff. But the second thing that comes up is Michael Blackson rich? And you go and look at it. So I kind of looked at that. And people have that question. But I think part of that is based on the fact that you went and built a school. And everybody talks about, I should do these things if I just get to a certain point or if I just have a certain amount of money. And I'm not counting your money, but you just did it. Like it wasn't, I'm going to wait until I've got $1 billion to go help people.
Yeah, I didn't want to wait.
Maybe you have $1 billion.
Nah, I wish, man. I just tell jokes. My scenes are shorter than Kevin Hart. Okay, every scene I've been in has been like a minute long. You don't get paid a lot of money for a minute long. I made money just telling jokes, doing this, giving it this talent that God gave me, going on stage and working almost every weekend. You know, I bust my ass every weekend to make money, you know. So, no, I'm just, you know, Africans, one thing we are good at doing is like saving money. We love, you know, we save. I hate bills. I'm the type that, like, if I see a car that I want, I'm like, okay, I'll save the money and then go buy that car instead of going to get a loan and paying three times the amount.
Right.
You know, same thing for a house. If I see a house, okay, I'm going to save the money and buy this house instead of going to get a loan and paying $500,000 a house. I'm going to pay $1.5 million if I wait 30 years. So, you know, it just in us, you know. So I pretty much saved money to build this school. And now I'm using my income to fund it, to make sure the teachers are paid. I just took a fraction of my income to give back. That's it.
Have people seen that? And I mean, I know a lot of people have seen it because it's on social media and it's out there and there is some coverage of that. Any of these huge number of people who you interact with or tour with or who support you, anybody say, how can I get down with that?
Like, let's do this definitely. One of my good friends, DC Young Fly, you know, comedian, you know, we started interacting with each other 2013-ish, so about 10 years, you know, he contributed. You know, he's like, hey, Mike, what do you need? I said, we need some computers. He said, okay, what does it cost? I'm like, 10 computers will cost this amount of money. He said, hey, here's this money. You know, go get the computers for the kids. Somebody said, hey, Mike, you know, what does it cost to pay the teachers for a month? This is what it costs. Okay, they sent it and pay. So I've had those two things happen. You know, the thing about it, I have a lot of rich friends, billionaires, but I don't think they trust me. Sadly, I don't think they trust me with their money. Because, I mean, you know, end of the day, people need things to write off at the end of the year.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing about it, I don't, even with my school is my personal bill. I don't even want, even if I was to collect any nonprofit money, it won't be for that. If I collect any more money, it's to go towards another school.
Okay.
This particular one in my village, I'm like, this is going to be my bill.
So you're paying for this.
I'm paying for this. I'm paying it out of my pocket. Every month I'm going to send, you know, this was the first month. So now we get an idea of what food costs, you know, what everything costs, what security costs, what the cleaner costs, the cleaner school every day, my teachers, everything. So this month ending, which is January, at the end of this, you know, now that January is ended, I have a pretty good idea what the school would cost me, you know, this year. Because every year what I did with my school is, and I got the advice from a former president of Ghana, you know, because my school's originally supposed to start from kindergarten to ninth grade. Because recently, the government 4 years ago made 10th, 11th, 12th grade to be complimentary. Okay. So I'm like, okay, let me take care of kindergarten to ninth since it's not complimentary. You know, so, but what I was advised is to let the kids grow at your school. Don't just open up the school and get kindergarten, ninth grade.
Right.
Start them young. So I decided to start with kindergarten to third grade. Every year we go up.
Right. Till eventually. They can expand as the school expands.
So you
keep the same kind of core students and expand it as you keep going.
Every year. So every year, kindergarten move up and then we get a new kid. So every year I'll get younger kids. And then third graders go to fourth grade and the fourth grade go to fifth and then stop at ninth eventually. So I should be filled up in like 4 or 5 years. the school be filled by then. So every year the budget would go up a little bit, you know, as far as what it's going to cost me. But I'm prepared to do it, you know. God has blessed me with a talent that, you know, that pays me pretty well. And I'm like, okay, you know, I got to give back.
I just love the concept of if nobody can do everything, but everybody can do something. And right. You're kind of showing that as you push forward. Couple more things we want to talk about. I feel like asking you what's next. So you just got finished the We Outside tour. Bill Bellamy was here with us not that long ago. So you did that tour, but you're still on your social media.
No, I never stopped. I mean, we do those tours, like we do those little theater and arena tours, you know, once a year. But then at the same time, we still have our comedy clubs, you know, like the Heliums and the Funny Bones and the Improvs across the country. You know, so those are like our every weekend type of thing. You know, so what I do, what I've been doing lately is taking off a week every other month that I could go back home and see how things are going with the school.
Okay. So people just need to Google. They can always see you somewhere. Like, this is not just on Philly. No. This is national.
Nationally, I'm all over the place. I mean, you know, this weekend I'm in Miami. Next weekend I'm in, of course, Super Bowl Eagles.
Yes.
Going to the game. And then after that, I'm in Richmond, Virginia, and then Norfolk, Virginia. I've got a date in Toronto, Canada. You know, then, I mean, I'm all over the place. So you just got to, you know.
Anything, any movies we got in the plans right now?
Well, you know, my one of my other goals was to work on my own projects, you know. I have a TV show. You don't want me to talk about it. You know, I can't talk.
You can't talk about it yet. All right. So you come back.
I'll come back when it comes. Yes. I'll come back.
So you got a TV show in development.
Yes. I can't talk about where and where and how and everything. So
that's all right.
That's another conversation. But, you know, I want to start my own production company, you know, where I'm like, there's so much talent, especially in my continent. And, like, they're all just looking for somebody to, like, show them the way. You know, and I said, you know what, maybe I'll be that person. Let me open up a management company and try to find talent, you know, worldwide, you know. So I'm working on my own production company, my management company, you know, and also in Ghana and most of Africa, soccer is our life, you know, and so much talent in the villages, but nobody's gonna look at them. So I even started my own soccer tournaments in a village. Yeah. Where I would try to eventually bring, you know, scouts and agents to come and take a look at those kids. Okay. So, you know, potentially sports management, all of that as well. So I got a few of those things in the works.
So the guy who roasts everybody is spending his time helping people.
Hey, man, I make fun of you, but I'm going to help you too, okay?
Do it together. Before I let you go, I have to do this because I'm Philly. You know, you're Philly, longtime fans. And now that he's gone, man, you went in on Ben Simmons.
Oh God, Ben is up. You know,
Ben
think about
not
it.
Not your favorite person.
No, not anymore. This guy was my homie too, man. You know, but you know when you are like a snake. That's what I call him, a snake. I mean, look, nothing good's happened. He'll never be an all-star again. I hope he's watching. He'll never be an all-star. The league thing, he's stealing money from the league. I mean, everybody's making fun of him. You know, because you just, when you are a jerk, that's what happens.
So you and Ben, for people who don't know, you and Ben Simmons were friends.
Yes, I met this guy in his rookie season on South Street when we sucked. Sixers were terrible then, you know. And I remember I ran into him at the store on South Street. He said, man, tell me a joke. I said, the Sixers. That's how bad they were back then, you know.
Right.
And then fast 4 years later, you know, we got the team together. You know, he's on the team and then, you know, he's like, remember that joke you told me? I said, I know, we good now. You know, so we were friends. We like, I have all his numbers. You know, he came out to LA, we hang out. You know, we're going to games together, Eagles games together.
Okay.
You know, and then this guy, this whole time he had his eye on my woman.
He slid in fiance. Is she white?
Rada. She's still my fiance. She slid into her DM.
She slid into your fiance's DM. When y'all were friends.
Friends.
And tried to holler at your fiance.
And then she was like, aren't you friends with Mike? He said, well, we're not that good of a friend.
Wow.
He'll be forever roasted by me.
Any chance you get.
Every chance I get.
And I'm a team player, so I was giving you that chance.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for the layup, man.
He deserves it.
Thanks for the layup, something he don't know about.
Yeah. And that hasn't been fixed. Like, this happened a
minute
ago.
No, it ain't been fixed.
It hasn't been
fixed. He has too much pride. You know, the thing about it, I ran into him a few times. If he would have just apologized, hey, Mike, you know, I'm sorry, you know, I'm still, growing, and I made a mistake, and, you know, forgive me. But he got too much pride to do that. So you'll be lit for the rest of your life.
And you never know, be
and,
that,
and another person, too, that's almost on my roast list is my good friend, Giannis Akadadupo, whatever his name is.
Giannis. What did Giannis do?
This is what Giannis did. Giannis, you know, and Giannis is a fan of Michael Blackson, his whole family, his brothers. You know, I met his moms and everything. So I have a dance. In fact, I tell you the dance I did whenever I made fun of everybody back in 2011 when I did my YouTube show.
Okay.
I was doing this dance before Giannis even got in the league.
All right.
You know, he's like, you know, and a couple of NFL players have done it when they got a touchdown.
Okay.
You know, Landry did it when he got a touchdown. And people do it, and they'll send me the videos. I mean, Giannis did it one time at a game with another teammate, you know, and then I got the video and I posted it. This guy goes on Fortnite and using a dance on Fortnite, which is okay. You can't copyright a dance. But I had a friend. I have a friend that's very good friend with the rapper DaBaby. And I think it was going to Fortnite for some kind of deal. And then Fortnite is all about dances.
Okay.
So he, you know, he's going to use this particular dance. He said, "Hey, this dance belongs to a friend of mine's. You know, his name's Cousin Skeeter. He's actually a Ghanaian guy that like jumps out the car and start dancing. You know, he does his own dance. So he said, this dance belongs to Cousin Skeeter. So, you know, we could use it, but we have to talk to him.
Shout him out.
No, they cut him a check.
Oh, okay. That's better than shouting him out.
All Giannis had to do.
He's cut you a check.
He's like, "Hey, Fortnite, this dance belongs to Michael Blackson. Let's cut Mike a check."
So he stole your dance.
He stole the dance and ignored my text, my DM, text message, brother. I'm like, it's so. I'm like,
how money, man.
I'm like, how much millions do you have to steal my dance? And you know what I mean? Like, give me credit or write a check. I just told him, I said, "Listen, just write a check to a nonprofit. I don't even want the money. Go write a reasonable check to the nonprofit. Let's help build another school in another village somewhere."
Yeah.
And they ignored it.
He hasn't responded.
Not responded. And my fans go to his page and be like, "Hey, you know, that's Michael Blackson dance. You doing with this?" Because Fortnite, I mean, those guys don't really know who's what. They don't know what's going on in the streets.
But once you know.
You know where the dance came from. Don't go take my dance and just go act like it's yours. So now he's going to be lit up.
So I'm.
Again, this is first time. We'll this is the first interview alone. About Giannis, you know, and it's just the beginning. He's gonna hear about
post
it.
Post this on social media now. You gave me the blueprint.
You have the
go
blueprint.
Go out there, do it. I'm gonna tag you. We'll repost it, and then we'll both go viral. And then when you come back with my suit,
when I come and talk about the TV show, I bring your suit.
You do that,
and you better wear it on the show.
We'll wear it when you come back. Right. You bring the suit. We'll both wear the suit. And sit there for the interview. We end every pulse with the concept of use your voice for good. Mm-hmm. Now you've been talking about that pretty much throughout the show. Mm-hmm. But we try to inspire people. We try to, you know, let them see what people like yourself are doing. Okay. What does use your voice for good mean to you in the larger picture?
Use your voice for good. I went to a public school. Give me a few minutes to think this over. Philadelphia Public School. Oh my God, please don't kick me out. Use your voice is good. I mean, you know, I think whatever it is, you know, that God gave you, you know, because I think God gives everybody something. I don't know what he gave you. You know. But, you know, at the end of the day, use it. When God blesses you, give back. That's why using your voice for good. When God gives, even, you know, sometimes, even if you just walking down and you see a homeless guy, you can give him a dollar, whatever. Just do good. When God bless you, you have to give back somehow, some way, if you want to keep getting blessings.
We'll leave it there.
All right.
So I managed to get through the whole interview without getting the full wrath of Michael Blackson.
Yeah.
See, I learned that at a young age.
Yeah, man.
You don't pick a fight with somebody who's better at it than you.
I have nothing to lose. You know, I have no feelings. I surgically removed my feelings about 20 years ago. So nothing bothers me, hurt my feelings anymore.
I appreciate you taking the time out of this. We look forward to you coming back, man, so we can talk about the new show and we can both model our suits. Thank you very much. I appreciate you. I got Pulse gear for you, but I don't know if it's flashy enough.
You know what? I'll give it to my kids, man.
We will give you the Pulse gear to share with your kids. I could bedazzle it.
Bedazzle it. And don't worry, I'll get my tailor to bedazzle it.
Good enough. Thank you.
Thank you for having me, man.
Guys, thank you for listening to The Pulse. I'm still laughing. It's always a good show when you can be the butt of several jokes and still have some fun with the whole discussion. Michael Blackson is fun, and he's fun and doing good things with his status, with his success, and that's really what we like to focus on and enjoy so much about The Pulse. And I hope you enjoyed it as well. A reminder, make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you get a notification every time a new episode comes out on Monday. You don't want to miss them. I would encourage you to go back and search through YouTube, through the podcast. We've had some amazing guests on the show, and if you miss them, I think you will enjoy going back and either watching or listening. If you're in Philadelphia and want to watch on TV on Mondays, 6:30 p.m. on Fox 29 nationally, Monday evenings also on Fox Soul. We're having fun, we're informing, we're educating, we're laughing, we're empowering, and we hope you are enjoying all of that. Follow me on social media at BillAFox29. Shout me out so you can see the picture of me wearing the suit that Michael Blackson is going to give to me at some point in the future. And I leave you today, as I always do, reminding you that whenever you can, use your voice for good and have a good one.